Welcome to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. Well, today it is not just my heartbeat that you will get to hear from. I have two guests with me. One of those being Sister Courtney Butler. And for those of you who do not know her, she leads up our ladies department here at the church. And then the second guest is Sister Crosswhite, who is our pastor's wife, or some call her Mama C, Nana C, and everything else. So she's got many names. But the two guests I have with me definitely carry a lot of wisdom in their brain, even if they think they do not. Hint, hint, Sister C. But I'm glad to have them here. So every now and then, I will text these two or talk to them, and it definitely is a joy. And a privilege as well to be able to talk about the things of God with them, whether it's a conversation, Bible study, text, whatever it is. And just recently, I was texting back and forth with Sister Butler about a relationship with God and also just being in his presence and thought, man, let's just talk about this on a podcast. So that's what brings us here today. Just good friends talking about the things of God. We have a list of questions. I don't know that we'll get through all of them, but, you know, we'll just play it by ear, pun intended, because we're all in music here. All right. So the first question, kind of just an overall thing here. If you were to describe what a walk with God is, let's say a new convert comes in the church and they're like, what is a walk with God? How would you describe that to them? For me, I don't think it really hit me until I had been in church for a little while, that a walk with God is not an overnight thing, but it's a journey. It's not necessarily an end of, yes, now I have this walk with God, but it's a means to an end. So this walk with God is a journey that's going to help me make it from today all the way to glory. But what comes to y'all's mind?
I love the illustration Pastor gives to a lot of people when they first receive the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Ghost is not a diploma. It's been a long day. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. The Holy Ghost is a birth certificate. So when I think of a walk with the Lord, it's a journey. Is it perfectly everything just right? No journey is. There are ups and downs, and you just learn, keep your eyes on the destination.
Right. Sister Butler, any thought on that you want to chime in?
That, yes, it is a journey. And we haven't arrived until we reach glory. But the in-between is like a two-way street. It's not just me talking to God, waiting for God, experiencing and enjoying his blessings. But it's what I can give back to him too. Like people would say that marriage is 50-50. And then people started saying, no, it's 100-100. You have to give, both people have to give 100%. And we know that God gives 100%, beyond 100%, all the time. But that in order to really walk with him and keep pace with him, we have to give 100% too.
So I'm going to skip to number 5 because you said the word with. So It's a super slight change in word here, but when a new convert, I keep saying that because I'm thinking about myself as how I felt in the beginning, but when somebody comes into this truth, they maybe hear the phrase living for God. So you want to do things for God. But I don't know that I've given a whole lot of thought to that just slight change in words, living with God. So doing things for God versus living with God. And there's that the story that you read about often in the Bible where maybe Mary and Martha were, Martha being the one that was doing the serving and Mary being the one that was at his feet. And the Bible says that Mary chose that good part. How do you think you find the balance, or if that's even the right way to word that, in your doing for God versus being with God?
I'll go.
Okay.
It is really easy for me to get encumbered with all that needs to be done. Having a family, it's just the mindset you get in what needs to be done. And I had mentioned to Sister Kristen earlier that the word abide is kind of a good trigger word for me because it kind of makes me slow down and just be with him. Because I am super scattered and my mind spins all the time. But abiding in him, with him, and remembering that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, to me, it means that being in his presence, I don't have a to-do list. There aren't an endless list of things that need to be done and checked off. There's nothing pressing because he takes care of all of it. And better than I could, much better than I could. I think it's a level of surrender and trust because by taking time to abide with him, I'm trusting he's going to provide whatever's needed in that time that we spend together. Instead of all that I need to do, I'm there to partake and just and glean.
Yeah, for me, my voice is going out like crazy, guys. But for me, that the scripture comes to mind, with God, all things are possible. And oftentimes, at least for me, I've thought of that in the big things, like miracles with God, it's possible. You know, the Holy Ghost with God, it's possible. But what about just the day-to-day moments with God? All things are possible. So when I'm overwhelmed with the responsibilities of life or whatever is going on in my day, and I feel like, God, this is too much for me, with God, what needs to happen will happen. With God, whatever needs to be checked off that list will be checked off that list. But it's just the awareness of, I want to go through this day with him, not just do things for him, but in whatever those checklist items are, to do it with him. Sister C, any thoughts coming to mind?
I was thinking when you said do it for him, in reality, God can do anything that needs to be done. And if I'm just living for God and not really with him, I might miss something he desires for me to do because I'm just doing and doing and thinking I'm doing, but am I doing what the master needs?
Right.
I get so busy thinking I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I better accomplish this. But if I don't stop and spend time with the master, then I really don't know what should be my priority. What should I be doing?
Right. Getting your marching order, so to speak, of order my steps, Lord. What does that mean? Being considerate of what matters to him, doing life with him.
I find, too, the more time I spend with someone, the more I can. There's a scripture in Psalms. It talks about the Lord guiding us with his eye. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm so busy, I tend to not look at him like right. I should. But the more I'm with you, I know your birthday's coming up, Sister Kristen.
Now,
going to be 100 years old. And you know, just because I've spent time with you,
yeah.
Now I know more how to serve you.
We're going to edit that last part out of the podcast there. Okay, so I'm looking at number three. We're human. We have feelings. Yet this walk with God is not based on feelings alone. But why do you think that is? I mean, we're human. We want to feel things, but why do you feel like a walk with God that's based on feelings can lead me down a path that I may not want to be on? I've heard Sister Cooley say this before. Feelings are fickle. So my feelings may change, but truth doesn't. I may have some circumstances that come in my life, but the circumstances that I'm in that may cause a certain feeling don't change the character of God. And Pastor has done this illustration before. If you think about a train, the engine that's leading that train can't be feelings because that will take you down any kind of track. But if the engine that's leading my train is truth, then I'm not led towards something that's based on my feelings. I'm led towards something that's based on God's truth or God's word. Sister Butler, you're shaking your head. You got something over there.
I do. I am a highly sensitive and emotional person. Anybody from my church body in the last few years probably hasn't seen that side of me so much, but I am very emotional. I have been in the past. For that reason, I think I can speak to this with some authority, experience. Some experience. So I really think that feelings are a part, like a component of our carnal flesh nature. Feelings, if you think about it, they're very self-motivated, self-focused, self-centered. Personally, if I look back and reflect at times that I had a strong emotional response just in the moment, it was almost always rooted in pride. And pride itself, we know, is at odds with the nature of God. So I can't let my walk be dictated by something that's self-centered and ego-driven, because those are traits that don't reconcile with who he is. I can't say that he's leading me if I'm really leading me. So feelings don't lead to selflessness, sacrifice, or humility, the traits that he is and looks for us to have. So for me, that was one of the biggest parts of dying daily to the flesh, was not being ruled by feelings, making that choice.
That's hard as a woman. That's hard.
Very hard.
Because we do rule with our emotions. I laughed when I read your question and I thought, pastor called a 52-day fast. I'm doing without coffee. Don't ask me to rule. I'm ruling on my feelings today. I'm teasing. But we have to be aware.
So speaking of those feelings, one of the questions that I have on here is about being discouraged or having low points. Now, those happen to us all. But Sister C, you have taught us very well. We all have a choice if we have the courage to make it. So when those feelings, because we gonna have them, happen, what do I choose to do when I'm struggling, when I'm going through a trial in life? What do I choose to do? Any thoughts from y'all?
I think it goes back to that intentional life. Intentional. You have to be intentional and recognize that we're on a journey and I can choose how I respond. I try because we've all been on low places. When I hit that spot, I understand I need to refocus. I need to look outside of me. I need to look obviously more toward the Lord, but the Lord puts people in our lives. And for me, when I get in those low spots, it's just easy to go hide. It's easy to just, I feel like, how's that? That's kind of play on words. I need to seek out godly people that can pray with me, encourage me, and intentionally battle. If you're going to heaven, you're going to go because you went intentionally.
On purpose. I mentioned this in our devotion yesterday, but I read this in a book recently. In the midst of trials, I can't forget what I do know just because of what I don't know. I think it goes back to those feelings. I know I may feel this way, and those feelings are real. I mean, we're human, but just because of what I feel, I can't let those feelings cause me to forget what I do know, and that being the things that I can stand on in his word. Mm-hmm. Sister Butler.
I think probably any time that I've felt distant from God or at a low point or discouraged, the common theme is that I feel alone. Mm-hmm. And going through motherhood, there are some dry times, especially when kids are little. And I was at this really, really dry place, the driest I've ever been. And I finally had a moment alone, quiet. And I was so weary. And so I just started pouring out to God about how I was in such a desolate, dry, desert place. And I felt so far from him. And so I told him, I never felt so far from you. I don't feel you. I don't feel like I can get back to you because I'm so, so far. And instantly he put on my heart that even though the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert, they were so close. Physically, they were so close to their place of refuge and promise. So my prayer right then changed from, I can't feel you anymore, to, I know you're near, even though I can't feel you right now. And I was instantly at his feet. Here I had been months of feeling like I just couldn't touch God And there I was when I changed my perspective. I think it's our perspective, saying that I trust that you're there, even though I don't feel you. And I'm thanking you in advance for when I get back there.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that maybe I'm speaking for me here, but maybe others feel this way, is that we often can look at things from our perspective and then not realize just how much the Lord loves us and longs to be with us and longs to be in that relationships. And sometimes it maybe it's a struggle to be just completely aware of just how much the Lord loves you. Mm-hmm. But it's trusting in that, at least for me, that has settled the issue. This walk with God is worth it. And that maybe is a question people ask sometimes when they're in a trial. Is this all worth it? You know, is it worth it to come to church all the time? Is it worth it to pray? Is it worth it to get in your Bible? Is it worth it to do all these things? So I know this is a very broad question, but is there kind of an experience or even just maybe a group of moments that have happened that have settled the issue for either of y'all? This walk with God is worth it. For me, I told Sister Butler this earlier. It's not that I have had a aha, this is the moment. It happened on the July 34th. It was on this day at this time. It was this moment. But it was being able to look back and see mm-hmm. all the little moments where God was there. And in that moment in time, I didn't realize it in the moment. But today, looking back, man, I was a knucklehead. And God was so faithful. Or in moments where I know I messed up and maybe didn't repent sincerely, like I felt like I needed to looking back, but God's grace has never left. I mean, his grace truly does never fail. So I guess for me, it's being able to look back and know that I don't deserve such grace, but boy, am I a product of his grace. Just those little moments one at a time have added up. And yes, this is completely mm-hmm. worth it.
Sold out.
Yeah.
Sold out. I think when I look back, it's the same. That's when I look back and I see his faithfulness to me. There's nobody loves me like the Lord does. And that's hard when sometimes we see through lenses of past experiences or through relationships that have jaded how we see our Heavenly Father. But when I look back and I see how faithful, never left me. I have felt alone, but he's always, always come through. And that just overwhelms me and makes me very grateful.
Yeah. And that takes time. I don't feel like either one of us have just come to this, you know, experience super quickly of realizing that, you know. So if you're new to this and you just jump in, I don't know that that really aha moment hits you within the first week of being in church.
Right.
I don't know that it would be beneficial for it to,
yeah.
really, fully, yeah. because I think that's part of...
I guess
the journey,
the depth,
right?
Process.
That's right. What comes to your mind?
Faithfulness. His faithfulness. That's exactly what I had taken note of. He goes so far beyond meeting a need. There's just no way that, looking back, I can attribute any of it to coincidence or circumstance. Every time and time again, to the point that now I can expect it. You know, Proverbs 31. It says. Paraphrase, she can laugh without fear at the days to come. And when bad things come up, I can just kind of have I can't wait to see what he's going to do.
Because you know he's going to.
And it's going to be in a way that I can't fathom.
Yeah. And that's a hard place in your journey. It doesn't happen overnight. But when you finally let it sink in, it's amazing the peace that it brings, knowing I don't know how it's going to work. And I may not even like how it's going to come out, but I know my Father has, his heart is for my good. And that's a safe place.
So on that note, and this may be kind of repeating a little bit, but we can tend to get to that place in God. I'm putting quotes around that soon when God wants it to be a process. So how have you learned to slow down in your time with God and not be in a rush? So for example, it's prayer time. You know, how have you learned to not be in a rush to get done praying? How have you learned to not be in a rush to maybe you feel like God wants to draw you to this place and I want to get there in 5 minutes. But what if God wants to do something in a process, in a journey, What or how have you learned to slow down and just enjoy being in his presence?
I had told Sister Kristen earlier, when I first got in truth, for a few years, things didn't really click for me in some regards, not to do with the word or who the Lord is, but with other believers, because I didn't see the abiding. And I knew that there had to be more to it than popping into church two or three times a week, mm-hmm. and dragging to the altar, because that's what it looked like to me. That's what the impression I had is that people were dragging famished to the altar and then pouring it all out and in travailing. And but I didn't see victory a lot, and that was a little bit of a hindrance to me. But it also helped me, gave me the perspective of that it is a two-way street. We talked about a relationship, and that it's not just me filling my prayer hour or whatever span of time with vain repetitions or a list of needs or meaningless words. It's communication. And when we communicate, mm-hmm. it's listening and speaking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just feel like I need to stop and just listen and be with him. That time of communion isn't any less in the prayer category because I'm not going on and on and on and on and on.
It's your spirit is still. Your mind is open to him. And that's a place we all have got. I can't hear if there's too much chatter. Mm-hmm. I have to stop.
I was telling Sister Butler this earlier. My voice, guys, I'm sorry. But I felt like when COVID happened, at least for me, that definitely caused some slowdowns because everything was on halt. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere. Work was different. I mean, just it really caused me to be on halt with some things. And as funny as it sounds, I had the thought of spiritually speed walking. I want to get to a destination quick, fast, and in a hurry. And sometimes if we're not careful, I can take that same approach with God of I want to get to point A to point B in no time when God's saying, hey, let's just slow down and enjoy things right mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even now, years past that COVID thing, I have to remind myself, hey, are you trying to spiritually rush through this situation? Or is God really wanting you to take some time, the process of time, and learn some things? Because I feel like, just speaking generally here, I learn and grow more when I can take time and walk slowly in my relationship with him than trying to get over a trial or a test overnight or in a week. Because it's those slow times where I see more of God's nature. It's in those slow times where I see mm-hmm. more of his grace, more of his patience than just this quick answer. So sometimes when God says no, maybe there's something I can learn here than besides, okay, mm-hmm. I'll ask something else, you know, but just in those slow times with him.
Absolutely. You remember we talked about a song where there's one line in there. It says, I wanted God, and this is not exactly right, but basically I wanted God to move the mountain. He wanted me to climb the mountain. Mm-hmm. It's slowing down and finding out what's today for me, Lord. What can I learn about you?
Well, and you know, too, Sister Crosswhite, if you and your husband go on a trip or you know, you're in the vehicle, it's not always talking. That there's a level of emotional or spiritual intimacy that just comes from being in someone's presence. And it's strengthening to the relationship. We don't have to be talking about the weather or whatever's going on at church or whatever's going on with the kids all the time. Mm-hmm. We can just be.
I find that the deeper relationships that I have with people, there's more silence. Mm-hmm. there's more of that connection that doesn't have to have words. Not that we have to have words to pray. You know, no, I get that.
I've never thought about it, but whenever you say it like that, sometimes silence can make us uncomfortable. Especially for those that really love to talk and keep things going. Sometimes it's hard to sit there and just be
awkward.
Still. Yes. But if I can learn to embrace those moments, because it's that still small voice.
Well, isn't it a level of trust too? Because if you're just handing it over to him, the whole interaction, then he's in control. And I'm not steering that ship.
Yeah, I never thought about it in that sense either. I guess I've started to recently, but that, at least for me, I'm being transparent here, but sometimes I can be talking in prayer and then we know there's that moment where you're to be still and let God speak. But sometimes it's the uncertainty of, well, what's he going to say? But it's that trust, like you just mentioned, that here's what I'm asking for, God, and I'm going to be still and wait on your answer. And whatever you say is okay with me. Because even though I can't see your hand, I know I can trust your heart. And that's not easy all the time, but it's a growing process. And I don't have a spiritual fit as much as I used to, but it's been a process of just learning to trust God no matter what his answer is.
And that's part of the journey. I don't think you get there in a week.
Right, right.
It's part of the journey.
Right. So some of us may see the do's and don'ts of a relationship with the Lord. Things that we should do, things that we should not do. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can harp on all the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. But what have you found to be a benefit or a group of benefits and living for God? Because the don'ts are not what keep me here. The hair length and skirt length is not what keeps me here. But what are some of those benefits that you're like, Lord, that's it. I can't live without that part of this walk.
We had spoken before, Sister Kristen and I, about what makes people stick. And I think this is a big part of it. Because like she said, the list of do's and don'ts, the having the checklist falls right in there too. And I'm checking the boxes. Do I look the right way? Am I dressed the right way? Am I praying enough time? Am I praying loud enough? Am I coming to music practice? Am I coming to Tuesday night prayer? I'm checking off the boxes, but I'm missing the heart of it. You can check the boxes and miss the whole package, the gift of his presence, but also the benefits.
Tell us the illustration you used, and her eyes got big.
Because I think I used it 2 weeks ago.
about being married to the prince and having all of, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes. It made me think of, because Pastor had preached about that the presence of God was the present, the gift. And it made me start looking at these scriptures about benefits and everything. And it made me think about if you were married to a prince and you had all these perks, you're famous, you're known, you have favor, you're wealthy, you have whatever you want at your beck and call. You've got servants, you're set, but you never spent time with him and you didn't get to know him. Mm-hmm. The relationship is the treasure. Mm-hmm. And I think that we hyperfixate a bit on the benefits sometimes, but also that checklist of do's and don'ts, or this is what I should be doing to be saved. When really salvation is wonderful. All the benefits are wonderful, but the gift is just him. Mm-hmm. It's just knowing him, being in proximity to him. Those other things, those come. The great altar experiences, the peace, the joy, the being out of bondage, victory, liberty, that all comes when you have proximity to him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we miss that part because we're living for the liberty, we're living for the joy, we're seeking those benefits when we would get those, if we would get to him.
Yeah. What comes to mind is Holiness Conference, and I forget the name of the preacher that preached this. It has totally slipped my brain. But he did an illustration to where he placed a gift on the altar and talked about how whenever somebody gets a gift, sometimes they look past the gift giver and only look at the gift. Well, Lord, you've given me this benefit and that benefit and this gift and that gift. And those gifts are great. They're awesome. They're good. But if I only look at the gift and never see the gift giver, then I'm missing the joy that comes with just being with him.
Right. If I ask my 7-year-old son why he loves me, it would be because I cook for him and I buy him toys. It would be all the things I do for him. And that's an immature, childlike position. I mean, you would expect that. If I ask my husband why he loved me,
he better not say because you.
Those would be benefits. But it would be much deeper. It would be because of who I am. It would be because of my heart. So I think that's an interesting perspective to find out, you know, in teaching, if I was teaching the youth or kids, just to ask them, why do you love Jesus?
And honestly, sister, I feel like if I didn't know the answer to that question, I want that to put something in me that makes me want to find the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. Because maybe, in all honesty, I can't look past the gifts at this point. Maybe I'm not at that place in my walk where I can look past just this benefit or that one and really see him. But that's part of the seeking, mm-hmm. to seek beyond the gift. And who is this giver? Who is God?
That's a part of the journey. Because at first we were talking about it might not be beneficial to see the big picture mm-hmm. the first weekend. At first, it is just awe that he would care for me. I'm so undeserving, and that he would care so much for me, that he would die for me.
There was a lady in our church growing up. She stood up, testified, and it stuck with me. This was when I was a kid. It stuck with me. She said, "I love him because I need him," is immature love. Mature love says, "I need him because I love him." That is just stuck in my, he is my everything.
Because he is. That's it. He is.
Pastor has said something similar that has stuck with me through the years, but it's one thing to say I need God, because we do. Everybody needs God, even if I realize it or not, I need God. But when my desire for God is a little weak, then make it part of your prayer. Lord, help me to want you. Because a need almost has like this, I need it right now and it's urgent, but a want is a pursuit, honestly, because it's something I want to go after. I want to seek after. So nothing wrong with needs. We have them. Mm-hmm. But if I can get to that depth in my walk with God to where I want you so bad that I will put you before other things that I used to want more. I want you so bad that you have that top priority in my life. And it's not an overnight place to get to for sure, but just somewhere along. And there's still things that I feel like I realize, not even knowing that I have placed before God. And it's that place of coming to God. I don't want you to be above anything else. Like it's my top priority, my top awareness. I want to be him. I want to want you for sure. So I have asked just about every question that I had an asterisk beside. So as we kind of bring things to a close, is there anything that comes to mind that maybe you thought about throughout this conversation or before, or maybe just some really good wisdom that maybe somebody shared with you as far as helping you grow in your walk with God?
You've got a question on here about a verse or a portion of scripture that you've leaned on for encouragement or as a reminder. Mm-hmm. And there is a verse that the Lord put on my heart. I knew it and I knew it well. I had used it to encourage other people, but the Lord put it on my heart before our youngest was born. We had a loss. And I was recovering because I had to have a very extensive surgery because of it. And I was disappointed. It was just incredibly disappointing. And I knew there was something wrong early on. I'd already processed that part of it. But I had an expectancy and it, you know, wasn't going to be. And I had this peace come over me when Romans 8:28 came to my heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose. And I knew I had so much peace that there was a reason. And that even though it was not a good experience, that he creates a silver lining in every dark cloud. And sure enough, it was just a few months later that we were expecting our youngest. And he is such a treat.
Oh, yes, he is.
And we did find out, I did find out in retrospect, you know, that we would not have had him had I not gone through what I did. And that's one of those things that I can look back on now with my 2020 hindsight and see every time, every bad thing leads to something good. He uses all things for good to those who love him mm-hmm. and are called according to his purpose. And we're all called to his purpose. So even the really bad, there's horrible, horrible things that happen in the world. But he can use them, whether it's ministry to people who've been through similar experiences. He uses it for good. I don't like the expression, everything happens for a reason. Or God's got a reason for everything. He doesn't make bad things happen. But he can use them for beautiful things. He gives us beauty for ashes. And that, to me, that is so encouraging.
But you couldn't have come to that point in your relationship without the word of the Lord.
No.
I'm a firm believer the voices that you listen to, the voices that you listen to will pull you in one direction or the other, even that unintentional input. Mm-hmm. So it's the word, because the Bible says they didn't receive a love for the truth. So if I could encourage any believer, the word, there's strength in the word. The word is what puts that scripture, comes to knowledge. I know because the word told me. And when you're spending time with him, how many times does the word come back in prayer? And that's the Lord speaking to you, reminding you of his word.
There's a verse, and you actually challenged us to memorize this chapter, but Psalms 139, mm-hmm. I forget the actual verse, but there's a part of that where it says darkness and light are alike to him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can feel like we are in really dark places, but just because you're in a dark place doesn't mean there can't be growth. And the reality, you probably grow a little bit more going through those dark places than being always in the light, which brings to mind another scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. So when you're in those dark places, what is your light source? Mm-hmm. It's him. It's his word.
Absolutely. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart.
Right. Right. And to finish that I wouldn't sin against thee. It's almost like that word becomes a filter. At least that's the way I see it as, is this in his word? Is it not? Is it according to his will and word? Is it not? Mm-hmm. So it's not just so I can have it in my mind, but it helps me kind of weed out some things of my life so that I don't lead a way of sin, or I'm not really sure how, if that's the best way of explaining it, but it's not just so I can have it in my mind of do this and don't do that. But it's a filter for living. It's words of life.
Absolutely.
Words of life.
That's what was, I'm going to say life-changing. It was a big turning point for me in being in the Word. Because when it started out checking a box off the list. I need to be doing this. And I'm checking that off the list. And then I started doing group studies online. And to start discussions, you know, when you're reading through the Bible and you get to some places, how are you going to have a discussion about that? You know, just some places where, like, what are we going to talk about out of that? And so that became my goal, is every day when I was doing these readings, 3, 4, 5 chapters, there's something in here that I can make applicable to me. Even if I'm reading about the bad kings of Israel, there's something that I can apply. There's something I can use as a prompt that's applicable to life now. Even if it's Rehoboam.
Yeah, he prepared not his heart.
He prepared not his heart.
To seek the Lord. So he did evil.
Right. Yeah. So there's not a whole lot there that I could say, how does this apply to now, today, us? Well, preparing our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of the last point here, and we'll end it, but this, the idea behind us just having this conversation started because I was talking to y'all about the things of God. And it's an important thing that I need in my life. I need people that I can talk about the word with. I mean, that there's just something about it to where, yes, doing that study on my own is one thing, but just in normal everyday conversation to talk about the things of God, that helps me grow. Mm-hmm. And that helps me draw closer to Him. And that's kind of the heartbeat behind this. It's not anything fancy. We mess up. You probably hear the table creaking and everything, but it's just taking some opportunity and some time to talk about the things of God. I think that means a lot to Him. It helps us to grow. So thank you all so much for listening to us share our heartbeat and share this with somebody else who may need encouragement in their walk with God.